Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back to another Bastards postseason edition. We have basically one matchup left. That is the World Series. And a very unexpected matchup. If anybody nailed this matchup, they've probably won a lot of money in Vegas. They're probably informing their employers that they are retiring and they will not be in next week, because what's the point? We've got the Texas Rangers versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm personally a little bummed. I went all in on the Phillies, started chugging the Phillies punch, pumped up Dave Dombrowski pretty good, and the party is over. So with us tonight, Charlie is actually DMing me right now, so we weren't sure if he's going to be with us. He may jump in. If you hear a ding-dong, that's Charlie coming in. But for now, we will start with Cody. So who's it going to be? Who's it going to be in this very unlikely matchup?
Terry, I think you nailed it right on the head, right? If you looked at the season at the very beginning, I don't think anybody was putting any bets on the Rangers, the Diamondbacks. I mean, these two teams couldn't have been built more differently, right? Diamondbacks did it through the draft, through, low money acquisitions, where Texas went out and spent all the money in the world between those Semien and Seager and other contracts of the like. But, it's very refreshing that we're here, right? The past couple of years, obviously the Astros have been on a crazy run. The Dodgers have been on a crazy run. I think it's, the first World Series since 2017 that hasn't featured either one of those teams. And it's just nice to have a World Series where there's no real agenda. I wanted to mention the Yankees as another team that people either, love or hate, but they haven't even been close enough to the World Series to talk about it. We barely got here with these teams coming out of the championship series to begin with. I think a lot of us picked an Astros Phillies or, maybe Astros Diamondbacks if they were feeling the vibes. And, I fully bought in on Arizona, but I don't think they've got enough to take the World Series here. I think the Texas team is just a little bit too deep. The bullpen, as shaky as it is, I don't think is really going to factor in as good as, Kelly and Merrill have been and fought for that matter. I think the lineup of Semien and Seager and Garcia and Lowe, and, you have big game Nate, who has been just nails in the postseason, as well as Scherzer and Gray. I know Scherzer's looked a little bit rocky, but I think the front end of these games are just going to be a little bit too much for Arizona to handle. Arizona's strength is in their resiliency and their bullpen, but I don't think that's really going to make a difference. You saw Texas put Houston to bed early and often, and I think that's going to be a trend that we continue to see in this World Series. So for me, I got Texas in six, but I'm happy either way, man. This is a new World Series champion. This is two teams that we haven't seen here in a long time. I think it's been, 10 and 20 years respectively between Texas and Arizona since either one of them has reached this point. So I think we can sit back, embrace the chaos, watch, hopefully 5, 6, 7 great games of baseball with a lot of drama. Credit to Ginkle for what he did to Philadelphia in the 7th and 8th inning. That was electric. I just want to give a shout out to that guy. But ultimately, I think Texas takes it.
Next is Jason.
So first of all, I'm very excited for this matchup. And I think if you're not excited, if you're like the Mad Dog Russos of the world, then you just have a big dump in your pants. He infamously said that he would retire on the spot if the Arizona Diamondbacks made it through to the World Series. Obviously, he's going to walk that back. He's not going to give up his gig over a comment like that. But I think this is still just as exciting. I know the Phillies are an exciting team, but, I think you've got Arizona, who hasn't won in 20 plus years. They have an exciting young core that's going to be here for a long time. They're going to be a force in the NL West. As much as the Dodgers will continue to spend. The Padres will always be looking to shake things up. The Giants will always be looking to get back in there. They just hired their new manager recently. But Arizona has that young core that they've been building for a long time. These guys are going to be around. This won't be their first dance, or their last dance, rather, I should say. So I'm excited that they made it there. Texas, obviously, good story with them. They did spend a lot of money, but nobody really believed in them. It was, you know, everyone anointed the Astros, including myself and you know, a couple of others on here on this podcast. Like, it's just hard to bet against the Astros in that division. And Texas proved a lot of people wrong with the way that they did it, the way that they were aggressive in spending. They were aggressive at the deadline, and they made it here. So it's going to be a great matchup. I think Arizona has a lot of momentum going in with just the fact that their pitching has been so much better than I think any of us thought it would be. You know, as much as they were sort of my team that I was rooting for, I admitted, you know, a couple episodes ago, I said, it's Zach Gallen, and then who do you got? But Merrill Kelly has been lights out. Brandon Pfaadt has turned into kind of like a postseason story. He's been pitching very well. And their offense is putting up a lot more runs than I thought they would. They kind of have that sort of chain offense where one guy gets on base and they've got a lot of athleticism, a lot of speed. They'll steal bases. They'll put pressure on the pitcher. And it's, you know, they're not going to do it by hitting bombs every other at bat. They're very different from Philly in that regard, where they don't need the big home run ball. They just kind of chain together some offense with speed and clutch hitting. Texas tends to go for the long ball. You know, Adolis Garcia is having the postseason of his life right now. He's absolutely on fire. He's putting his name on the map. He's putting his team on the map. And you forget that, like, he's probably not even the best player on that offense. He's still got Corey Seager there. You still have, you know, Nathaniel Lowe, who's an incredible hitter. Jonah Heim, their catcher, is a great hitter. Marcus Semien is a great hitter. So their offense can pop at a moment's notice. And, you know, as much as Arizona's pitching has really impressed me with, you know, just how much they've stepped up this postseason, I just don't know if that's going to be sustainable against this kind of offense. This Texas Rangers offense is really dangerous, 1-9. And they get the clutch hits when they need to. Their pitching is pretty solid. You know, Eovaldi is, you know, having a great postseason so far. Scherzer, I'm a little bit worried about if I'm a Rangers fan. He hasn't pitched great in his postseason appearances, but again, it's the World Series. Sometimes guys just pull one out of the hat, you know, when they really need to. And Scherzer's been around long enough. He's a future Hall of Famer. You can pretty much bet that if he pitches or when he pitches in the World Series, he's going to deliver a great game. So ultimately, I'm going to go with the Texas Rangers, and it kind of kills me to do that. I wanted to pick Arizona so badly, but I just think the Rangers offense combined with their frontline pitching is going to get them through. And then, you know, the tiebreaker for me is I look at the managers. I love Torey Lovullo. I've loved him since when he was here in Boston, love what he's doing out there in Arizona, but you're going up against Bruce Bochy. You know, he's got 3 rings on his hand. And that's not by accident. So I just think that Bochy's been to the dance. He knows what to expect. He knows how to get his team ready. Lovullo, you know, he's a little bit unfamiliar in this situation. So I think it'll be a tight series. I think it's going to go 6, maybe even 7. But I'm going to take the Texas Rangers to win the World Series.
Nick.
You stole my thunder on that one, Jason. I was going to mention Bruce Bochy as the big storyline of experience. We saw very early in this playoff run with the Baltimore Orioles, in particular with their series. It wasn't a series. There was very little experience. And we have seen many times that the person or the manager, at least, that has the calling card, that has the credentials, that has the rings, that's been there to this dance, is the one that typically gets this done. I am looking at the Rangers as being the World Series champion, and that's not even because I'm the biggest fan of theirs. I actually like the underdog story a lot. I like the Diamondbacks. I like the whole Torey Lovullo and some of these other guys, Merrill Kelly's of the world, even Evan Longoria. He's not really doing much, but still, it's these underdog mentality kind of players that I think makes it very easy to root for a team from there. The other thing I also want to mention is for the first time since 2017, we are having a World Series without the Astros or without the Dodgers. That's 6 years, folks. That is wild that this has been this long of this much of a dominance force with the Dodgers and the Astros being a part of the World Series. So to have two teams that are different in this final two, you know, final World Series games that are here is going to be pretty special. To see a team that hasn't won it in the Diamondbacks haven't won it since 2001. The Rangers, I don't even think I could tell you exactly off the top of my head when the last time that they had it. So I am looking at the Rangers to get this done. I'm a big fan of Nate Eovaldi. That was a guy I did not want anything to do with leaving the Red Sox. I get it. Came back home to the Rangers and everything. Reports came out there was a 3-year something deal that was done, and he turned it down to come back home to the Rangers. So we're seeing why Nate Eovaldi is big game Nate. He's got it done from so many chances there. But the Rangers are just so much more stacked with the star power between the starting pitching, the offense. I think the Rangers are going to get this done. I actually think this could be done in 5 games. I think it's going to be the Rangers taking it to the distance and getting it done.
Man, so I've picked against the Rangers every single round. I thought the Rays were going to beat them. I thought the Orioles were going to beat them. And I thought the Astros were going to beat them. I've picked against the Diamondbacks 2 out of 3 times. I thought the Brewers were going to beat them, and I thought the Phillies were going to beat them. I did have the Diamondbacks beating the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the interesting thing here about these two teams is one of them is very analytics driven, and that's the Diamondbacks. As Micah pointed out on a recent show, Brandon Pfaadt had 18 batters, and it didn't matter how many innings, how many outs, he was only facing 18 batters. Merrill Kelly was cruising through 5 innings and was taken out of the game, and he was pissed. He was very upset about being taken out. And so that's the Diamondbacks. You got a very old school, you know, mindset with the Texas Rangers and a guy like Bruce Bochy, who just kind of manages it through feel, through instinct. Ironically, one of the two times the Rangers went to the World Series, 2010, Bruce Bochy was in the other dugout. So they went back the next year and faced the Cardinals. I forget. I think that was Tony La Russa, actually, opposing the Rangers that time. But yeah, I mean, well over a decade later, here's Bruce Bochy, his first season back, already in the World Series. I mean, I always say Francona is the greatest manager of this, you know, of this century. I think it's Bochy now, win or lose. I think you got to give it to him. So it's tough. I'm still struggling with my prediction. I said as recently as 15 minutes ago, I really don't know who I'm picking here. I trust the pitching of the Diamondbacks more. I trust the offense of the Rangers more. I do think the Diamondbacks have enough to get it done. I mean, Alec Thomas has came out of nowhere. Gabriel Moreno has been awesome at the catcher position. Corbin Carroll is everything we've been waiting for with Mookie Betts, and he's doing it in his first postseason run. Just absolutely killing it, living up to the moment. Lourdes Gurriel also having a decent postseason. I said in the last show, wouldn't mind the Red Sox targeting him this winter. Ketel Marte has been a very reliable bat over the last several years, and it's good to see him finally getting a shot. Geraldo Perdomo. Tommy Pham can be one of those aging veterans that wins the World Series MVP out of nowhere. like Steve Pierce did, and Edgar Renteria, you know, who did that for Bruce Bochy, I think, in 2010. Christian Walker has had a quiet postseason. There are some bats in that lineup that can get it done. Texas, far more explosive. You know, you've got, you know, Adolis Garcia, Corey Seager. I'm still waiting for Marcus Semien to have that real explosive statement in the postseason. He's hasn't had a good postseason, especially defensively. You know, I think the starting pitching is even. I've got the Rangers offense a little bit better than Arizona's, but the bullpen, I just, you know, with Ginkle and Sewald, there's been no better 1-2 punch in the postseason. I've just talked myself into it as I've gone along. I'm gonna be the only one to pick the Arizona Diamondbacks. I will say this: I'm really conflicted with that though, because I'm anti analytics to the extreme. I don't want to see it. I'm hoping that's not what the Craig Breslow era will end up like in Boston. But on the other hand, you've got some big Boston connections there, you know, between Lovello and Hazen. So I think the Diamondbacks are going to do it. This has been a postseason that has not made any sense whatsoever. Nobody, well, I did have the Diamondbacks winning the third wild card. I can't sit here and say that I was beaming with confidence when I made that pick. But I knew it was a long shot, and I figured Texas was a long shot, and that was to start the season. Go back just 2.5 weeks, and I'm still telling you these two teams are extreme long shots to get it done, yet here they are. So it hasn't made sense so far, and I don't necessarily expect the outcome to make a ton of sense as well. So there we have it. Charlie said he would be in, but hasn't done it. Let's do this to extend it a little more. Cody, give me a World Series MVP.
Oh,
not hard, you know, on the spot.
Right. As ballsy as I was to go Rangers Diamondbacks out of the championship series, I think I'm going to go a little bit more mainstream here. I think because I picked the Rangers to win, I got to go Garcia in six, or not Garcia in six, Garcia as the MVP. Also to note, if anybody has a little extra time and wants to hop on Twitter, Zach Allen has been tweeting his way throughout the day, just chirping the crap out of the Phillies fans, and it has been quite entertaining. So that'll make it for a spicy World Series. But for MVP, I like Garcia for the Rangers.
So if I'm going to pick a World Series MVP, Garcia is definitely a good choice. He's just on a heater right now. That guy's a menace at the plate. But I'm going to go with the guy that I think is more experienced, and I still think overall is a better player. I think Corey Seager is going to be your World Series MVP. I think he's going to go off in the World Series. I just think that he's just the best all-around player on that team. And eventually, those guys just kind of shine through. You know, when the Red Sox won their World Series, especially in the later years, it was David Ortiz who was just like, yeah, I'm the best player on this team. I'm going to hit 500. You can't get me out. And I'm going to be a menace every time I go up there. I think that'll be Corey Seager in this series. And I do think Garcia will also have an incredible series. I think he's just going to continue his momentum, but that's what I'm kind of looking at. That's why, again, like I went with the Rangers. I think that 1-2 punch of those two guys is going to be too much for Arizona to handle. So I will take Corey Seager as my World Series MVP.
Nick, give us an MVP.
Yeah, just to be painful for Red Sox Nation, I'm going to go with Nate Eovaldi. I got to go for big game Nate. Here's a guy that had all the accolades and everything has just gone right in his world with delivering clutch performances time in and time out. The guy is just a workhorse. I would not be surprised in the least bit if this guy gets that big trophy and actually brings it probably back to Boston to let the Boston fans enjoy it too, because that's just how much of a class act he is. So I would expect Nate Eovaldi to continue his dominance and propel the Rangers to another series, to their first World Series.
I'll be honest with you, Nick. I actually love that pick a lot. And the reason I do is because he's probably going to start one of the first couple of games. So he'll probably get two starts if it goes deep. And you know, he'll be coming out of that bullpen if that's what Bruce Bochy needs. So I could see him being an extremely vital guy on that Rangers staff. The guy I'm going with, because I picked the Diamondbacks, I'm going a starting pitcher as well. I'm going to say Merrill Kelly. I think he's going to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder. He'll probably be starting game two. I know Zach Gallen has been already named as the game one starter, and Gallen hasn't been super great so far. And if I'm being completely honest, I don't know if I love that Texas lineup against him, but I think this, it's been the Merrill Kelly and Brandon Fott show. I think Kelly has a bit of a longer leash, and he's had a great year. I mean, he was basically the ace of the, you know, Team America WBC team. He, you know, went on to have a pretty solid year as a starter in that Diamondbacks rotation. So he's going to be my pick. So I have to go starting pitcher there. It doesn't happen often, but I wouldn't be shocked if one of the Diamondbacks relievers gets it as well. In that series against the Phillies, they had to hold a one-run lead twice, and then one of their other wins was only a two-run lead. So they've been holding pretty narrow leads. The last time I remember anyone being an MVP out of a bullpen was actually Koji Uehara. Maybe it's happened since then, but that's the last time I remember it. He held 3 one-run leads against the Detroit Tigers and just totally annihilated them. So anyway, so I wouldn't be shocked. But Texas might smoke him 4-0 because I picked the Diamondbacks.
Well, and here's another question for you guys. If the Rangers win, is Bruce Bochy the greatest manager of the modern era? Because I was just looking it up, and he'd be tied with Joe Torre for 4 World Series wins. The only guys ahead of him were, there's only 3 managers with one more: Joe McCarthy, Casey Stengel, Connie Mack. Those guys all managed in the 30s, 40s, and 50s when there were fewer teams. You know, it was a little bit different then. He would leapfrog La Russa, and he'd be tied with Torre with 4. So if Bochy wins another one, is he the greatest manager of the modern era?
I mean, I think you'd have to say yes, right? Like, Torre got his on the back of some of the best built teams that we've ever seen, right? Those Yankees were an absolute wagon. And even when he was with the Giants, like, those were good teams. Those were solid teams for sure. But you were getting contributions up and down the lineup from guys that you wouldn't necessarily count on going into the postseason, right? Obviously, Kane, Lincecum, Sandoval at the time, Posey are all great players. But, you know, was it Sergio Romo was at the closer? Like, I can't even think of, you know.
It was Romo for one. It was Brian Wilson for a couple.
Correct. That's, yeah, right. And the beard. But I mean, that's what we're saying, right? You know, it's, now granted, you're incredible at the immaculate grid, but it's not names that you can necessarily think of. Whereas, you know, you look at some of those Yankee teams, right? We could sit here all day and be like, oh, that guy was on there too. That guy was on there too. That guy came off the bench, right? You know, unbelievable rosters that Torre was able to benefit from. Not taking anything away from Torre, you know, it is an incredible achievement to win a championship, let alone 3 in a row, right? I mean, so many things have to break the right way, go the right way for you to win a championship. But I think if you were to look at the building blocks Bochy has done at this point, if he wins, you know, this year, equal with less than what Torre had, in my opinion.
And he was able to win with Pablo Sandoval. Let's think about that. I mean, that's why the Red Sox got him. It's because he was the 3-time champion. They wanted that. They wanted it. It blew up in their face, literally and figuratively. But I would agree with you, Jason, on this point. And I think we were trending in that territory of former Red Sox manager and Indians manager. It was Terry Francona. But Francona's only got the two. And it's painful to kind of say it. I still think he can get into the Hall of Fame from everything. But when you count the amount of rings and everything here, with the potential for this to be the fourth for Bruce Bochy, how can you go wrong? I mean, he put everything together with the talent and everything in front of him. Tip of the cap to him and everything. And this is why he wanted to come back to the game. He retired for a bit, got a opportunity from the Rangers where, how could you pass that up? How could you pass it up? So that's why I think we'll be seeing number four for him. And I do.
So you guys mentioned Sandoval. He was actually the World Series MVP in 2014, joke, if I'm not mistaken. And then we signed him, several weeks later.
He rolled his way to Fenway Park.
Yeah. A couple of things to consider here. The first 60 or 70 years of the World Series was just that, the World Series. There was no league championship series round. There was no divisional round. There was no wild card rounds. I think it was maybe late 60s, early 70s when the two LCS rounds were put in, for each league, and then the winner of each met in the World Series. So, and you go back to Joe Torre's era, there was the divisional round. So you had to win three playoff matchups essentially to win a championship. And then with regard to Terry Francona, he had the historic win, the curse reversing win. And then, 3 years later with an absolute wagon, won it in 2007. I will say, and I've said it for a while, I really believe the 2016 World Series run he had. He lost it in extra innings in Game 7, but I think that was his finest performance. All he had was Corey Kluber, Trevor Bauer for part of it. He did get his finger caught in a in a drone. And then you had a couple of spot starters in there that, weren't really guys you would want, starting postseason games. And he got to extra innings in Game 7. So I've said up till now, I really think he's the greatest of this century, of the 21st century. I will give it to Bochy now. And what's interesting about Bochy is, of all the playoff berths he's ever had, I think he's only actually got in by winning the division one time. Three out of those 4 years, he was just barely hanging on. Just barely hanging on. And he did have to, the 2014 one, or maybe it was 2012, he had to win the one game wild card against the Pirates, I think it was. His path to the playoffs has never been it's never been one of dominance, but as soon as he gets into the playoffs, the switch gets flipped and they win it all. They win it all. And I don't remember the Giants ever really being the favorite in any of those World Series going into it. They weren't necessarily written off, but they weren't the teams we were thinking would go. So I'll give it to Bochy. And when he came back, I'm like, what a joke. Why would you pick Texas of all teams? Why would that be your team?
Now you know.
They just gave a joke of a contract to Jake DeGrom that's already blown up in their face. I didn't think the Eovaldi deal would work, and it wasn't looking like it was working in the second half, but he flipped the switch. I don't know. It just hasn't, the John Daniels era, I don't think he was a very good general manager. He had that, he had those few years where they went to the World Series, but all the moves after that, they struggled with pitching. They made terrible trades. They never had a very good farm. And when he dropped out of the Red Sox front office race, I was like, thank God, because he was close to the bottom of my list. but they've proved me wrong every round so far. So we'll see. Any final thoughts?
No, just, I mean, John Daniels, yeah, he made a lot of bad moves. He did. Was he the guy? He got Adolis Garcia for a song from the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
So give him credit for that one, but I agree. Yeah, otherwise, it was a bit of a mess there for a while. They cleaned it up the last 2 years, but I agree. Ochi taking that job, I was shocked too, but it's worked out. So
I mean, to him. He could have went back to the Padres probably if he wanted to. And
I'm sure they'd want him now.
Well, Preller somehow is on his fifth manager, so
ridiculous.
I don't know how many GMs ever get that luxury.
The other thing I was going to say on the John Daniels front is, wasn't he the GM that actually turned down the whole John Lester, Manny Ramirez, that whole deal, or something along those lines?
No,
that was back then.
So you're talking about the A-Rod deal, right?
No, something with John Lester. Was that the one with them?
Yeah, that was the A-Rod
deal. Was he a part of that?
He and I think Manny possibly.
Okay.
What was going to happen? Now I got to look it up.
That's a throwback for me because I don't. Yeah,
I thought I remembered him being associated with some sort of deal that was there, and the Rangers turned it down, and we got stuck with, you know, keeping Manny Ramirez, which is not a bad idea.
If it's what I'm thinking, let's see who was going to go in that deal. I got it. I've got a article up right now.
I thought it was Manny and John Lester to be packaged for. I don't think it was A-Rod. I thought it was something else.
Rodriguez. Oh, come on. That's going to bother me. I cannot end the show without.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to date it back, and I'm trying to remember
yeah,
exactly
the full
what that
scope,
was.
This is the Red Sox and the Rangers. The full scope of the trades had been hammered out. Had the 27-year-old Rodriguez going from Texas to Boston in exchange for 31-year-old Manny Ramirez, pitching prospect John Lester, and then in cash. Oh, and so Nomar Garciaparra would have went to the White
Sox.
Was
it the White Sox from Maglio Ordóñez?
Yes. So a massive trade.
Okay.
So what happened here, it wasn't that the trade was agreed upon. All parties wanted the trade. But what ended up, nixing it was the players union, because the Red Sox wouldn't pay all of Rodriguez's contract, which was $275 million. $275 million in 2004. That's a massive contract in 2023. So, So what happened was A-Rod had agreed to take less money. Like, he was going to get paid less money, and a certain portion of his contract was going to go away in exchange for his likeness. So he was going to get money from like merchandise, and they had a creative way to essentially give him all that money anyway, despite it not coming from his current contract. And the reason the players union ended up nixing it was because they thought it would set a bad precedent. So like, they didn't want other players in the future feeling pressured to take less money to help facilitate a trade. And this is what's so hilarious about it. Everybody thought the deal was going to happen. And Kevin Millar was on SportsCenter or something giving an interview. I'm pretty sure it was ESPN. And they asked him, they said, They said, who do you want on your team, A-Rod or Nomar? And he said, very candidly, he goes, we'll take A-Rod. And then it never happened. He was stuck with Nomar, a little bit awkward.
And Nomar
there.
Pouted.
Yeah, yep. And Nomar got traded later on that year anyway for Orlando Cabrera and I think someone else. But that was a unique moment in baseball history.
I'll never forget though. A 13-year-old me, when I saw the GMs and following all the things along, I'm like, yes, that John Daniels bastard. He didn't get him. So we were all happy when we were kids, like, yep, Nomar's staying. Manny's still here.
I was kind of excited for it, but the real tragedy wasn't that it didn't come to fruition.
It was baseball.
No, the tragedy was the Yankees swooped in and got A-Rod, and they were saying, no, we don't want A-Rod. We got Aaron Boone, which is nuts. I mean, Aaron Boone wasn't terrible, but he wasn't A-Rod. But Aaron Boone blows out his knee. So And then the stipulation that the Yankees had to work past was A-Rod was a shortstop at that point, so they had to get A-Rod to agree to third base because they're like, we're not taking Derek Jeter off a shortstop. So, yeah.
Look at this John Daniels guy has done.
Yeah, might be the only time in my life where I say, thank God for the Players Union that didn't go through.
Yeah, yeah. They thought it would set a bad precedent, and you know, they want the players to have all the power, and you know, it's the most powerful union in the world, really. So, all right. Well, I asked you guys to stretch this out. I thought we might have a problem filling 20 minutes where it was just one matchup. We went 35. So, very entertaining show, and we'll be back to discuss what really did happen, and I think we'll come back again to rehash our preseason picks. So I think that'll just be four of us. Nick, were you on that show or no? I don't think you were.
I think on the YouTube show I was, okay. Yes, but not on the initial.
Yeah, and Andrew, obviously, no longer with us, but yeah, so those are two shows for sure coming up, and we'll see if anything else develops with the Red Sox. We still need a pitching coach. We still need a number two under Craig Breslow. He will be the chief baseball officer. That is his title. That came out after last night's show. So plenty on the horizon, and hope everyone enjoys the World Series starting on Friday, and have a great rest of your week. Take care.